Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, we know now it is Jaden Daniels, but there's a lot more to figure out. They've got five picks starting at number 36 tonight. We will have coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. Yours truly and Denton Day will take you through 3 hours, and then Linnell will jump on after that with Denton to take you home for whatever's left of the third round at that point. Although really 7 to 10, we'll get through the second into maybe the early portion of the third. Tonight, I think, is 10 minutes, right? 10 minutes between picks. I think that's right.
I think
first round 15.
Minutes. It was 10 minutes yesterday, so it might be 8
was
minutes.
It 10 minutes yesterday? Yeah. So have they gone to 10 overall? Is it 5 tonight?
I don't think it's 5.
Does
it
Ben
be
know?
Eight.
Ben, how many minutes in between picks tonight?
Oh my God! You know, I don't know. I wasn't even
stumped.
There was 10 last night.
You didn't even know there was 10 last night.
Well, I mean, there's so much happening. I wasn't even paying attention to the last like 15 picks.
True. It, actually, you know what? In this, the clock's actually irrelevant because they're going to announce it when they want to announce it based on the TV coverage. And if you're on, you know, social media, you know before the commissioner steps to the podium what the pick is. All right. Ben Standing's with us from The Athletic. Subscribe to The Athletic. The draft coverage on The Athletic was phenomenal. Ben's coverage, great. At Ben Standing on Twitter. Ben's got a podcast called Standing Room Only. You can get that wherever you get a podcast. So real quickly, before we get to overall reactions to last night and what's next, how did you do as a three-time mock draft champion? How'd you do last night?
I did all right. I didn't, embarrass myself. I was, I've seen a Denton before I came on that, you know, the first time I ever won this thing, I wasn't even really a reporter at that point. I was just, you know, quasi in sports and enjoy, you know, like this stuff. I had no sources. The second time I won, I believe I was covering the Wizards. So it wasn't like I was talking to people. Now with more access, I feel like I actually am worse because there's just too many voices in my head. And you know, that was an example. Like I had like Byron Murphy to Seattle at 16, but then all the noise about he could move up into like the 8-9 range. I'm like, you know, there's too many people saying this. I'm like, all right. So I switched it there. And then he goes to Seattle and, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, overall, it was okay. And, you know, needless to say, you know, who had six quarterbacks going like the way that it did? Or really, it wasn't really until like the last like 24 hours that the thought that Minnesota wouldn't trade up at all, I mean, you know, not just the one, you know, move up to four or five, was really more in play. So it was okay. I mean, no complaints. It won't hurt my overall batting average other than not winning, but it was, I did all right.
All right. So when they were on the clock after Caleb Williams was picked, I mean, you were anxious yesterday. There's been a lot of angst in your voice here over the last couple of weeks as a reporter without nearly as much being sort of disseminated from the franchise like in years past. I got you to 90% yesterday on the air. How'd you feel? What was your overall take on Daniels and then a lot of what Peter said afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, again, if we hadn't lived through the coaching search, I probably would have felt okay. I'm not to be repeated here, but I, you know, mentioned to you yesterday after I was on, like I had some intel that seemed to me to suggest that it was going to be Daniels. And then earlier in the week, somebody who's, you know, a step removed from somebody over there kind of said, hey, you know, it's going to be this. So I felt, by that point I felt okay. It, again, not to keep harping on this, but like I've been on Daniels over May long ago. The first time I did a Commanders only mock draft. So I was there. It was just hard. You know, you don't want to be wrong when you're making these kinds of predictions. So yeah, by that point it seemed pretty apparent. And you know, look, I mean, how it all works out, you know, none of us know, and that's what's the fun and the scary part if you're these teams going forward. But it just ultimately really did feel like Daniels was the best combination of all of the three. I could make compelling arguments for any of them, but like, you know, like J.J. McCarthy, who, it's, you know, I know Schefter reported was the other guy they were looking at, which is, of course, what you and I have discussed as well, that they felt like McCarthy might be the second guy if they bailed on Daniels, or, you know, something blew up there. So that's notable. But like, I don't know, McCarthy just didn't seem like a fit for Cliff Kingsbury's offense. And then with Drake May, you know, again, people can say the Washington took the wrong guy. Time will tell. But I can just tell you, based on the umpteen people I spoke to about the draft in the league, et cetera, not that there weren't people that thought Drake May was good, but even those people tended to be, boy, he's got this, he's got that. But, yeah, he's going to have to sit a while. So if you're going to say that, then it's just like, well, all right. I mean, he may be good and the best eventually, but you're taking a bigger risk because you're saying it's not there. Daniels is a bit older. He's way more experienced. He's coming off the year last year that he had. And, you know, when we hear Adam Peters talk about it last night, you know, Peters, who's not been very expansive with his comments to us so far in general, since he's become the GM, you know, he was like really, he doesn't say it's a big high for him, but he was really excited and talking about all the ways that Daniels stood out to him as a player, as a person, and this, that, and the other. So, in the end, I don't want to say they got the right guy because, again, who knows, but it does feel like all things being equal, they got the guy that makes the most sense for where they are right now. And then that includes the ownership wanting to start to recoup that $6 billion. And this guy should be a guy who fans gravitate towards immediately when you start seeing the highlight tapes and, you know, the potential of what he could be.
How hard did they try to get back into the first round? And if so, for whom?
Well, I do know that they tried. I tweeted this last night, but I was told by a source from another team that they were trying, and even trying to get up, or at least making calls into teams, picking in the teens. So if you're picking in the teens to jump from 36 or 40 to, you know, whatever, to up to, you know, above 20, that's a pretty big jump. That seems like pretty aggressive move. So, you know, maybe it's both second round picks that you would be giving up. So it seems like that would be pretty, it should, if that's what they were willing to do, that's a pretty bold move. And it would have been, from what I gather, for an offensive tackle. I don't know which one specifically. Amarius Mims, the kid from Georgia, was the one that I had been eyeing the most, just because it felt like he would be, he and Tyler Guyton would be the last two that were would be on the board, and that Mims, despite 8 career starts at Georgia, which is nuts that a guy with 8 starts is getting picked in the top, he gets picked at 18. But those two made sense, where Guyton, it felt like a little riskier. He obviously goes to Dallas. I would imagine, I mean, if it was Guyton, I imagine they could have made the move if they wanted to. So I assume it wasn't him, that it was more Mims.
Right.
Maybe somebody, one of the other guys, but I would suspect Mims was probably the target.
And you say that because Guyton didn't go until 29, so there would have been opportunities in the early to mid-20s rather than the teens to continue to try to get in there, and so that's why you've deducted that it was probably not Guyton. Do you think there's
right, and also
any...
Mims for me, like in terms of like the mock draft and stuff, like Mims to the Bengals at 18 always felt like a pretty good spot, or at least the Steelers at 20. So you had to get above them, and the fact that, like I said, I was told that they were checking in the teens seems to suggest they knew they had to get ahead of certain other teams to get somebody.
And you feel confident that if they had done that, it would have been for a tackle?
It's the only thing I've heard. You know, I mean, look, this team, you could argue they could take any position, and from that perspective, it'd be hard for me to argue that was a mistake. But yeah, tackle, from what I could tell throughout this process, but also, you know, again, talking to people over the last couple of days and yesterday, that would be the spot, yes.
All right, we're talking to Ben Standig, and now we focus in on 5 picks tonight as of now. So where do they go starting at 36 and 40?
Yeah, so, you know, now that we're here, they've got the 4th pick in the second round, so it's no longer some hypothetical. Now there's actual names on the board. There were 3 players. I had 29 of the 32 players picked in the first round correct. So the 3 that fell out were 2 defensive backs, Cooper DeJean from Iowa and Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, along with defensive tackle Johnny Newton from Illinois. I'll put aside Newton because, you know, it wouldn't be crazy, but it would be a little bit odd if they took defensive tackle. But the other two, look, we know they still need defensive backs. DeJean, whether you view him as a corner or a safety, he could play both. He's a phenomenal kick returner, like a big-time special teams weapon. He's a movable chess piece that would seem to be a really good fit for what Dan Quinn wants to do. And in one of my, when I did that story on showing like 6 different Commanders scenarios over 7 rounds, in one of them I had them trading up to about 21 to get DeJean. That was just based on my read, yep, not based on actionable intelligence. But that to me would be interesting. But I kind of imagine both of those guys might be gone in the first 3 picks because they are thought of highly at a premium position. So, you know, they still have to get an offensive tackle. All the ones that we would have, that I imagine they might hope would have fallen, didn't. The 2 guys that I'm sort of keeping an eye on would be Roger Rosengarten, the starting right tackle for Washington. He was a right tackle because Michael Penix was a southpaw. So that was the blind side. He had previously played 2 years at left tackle. Mel Kiper has said that, he thinks if Rosengarten stays in school one more year, that he's probably a first-round pick next year. And, you know, I feel like he might be more of a – not like he would be the most amazing player, but, like, he might be able to come in and play where, say, like a guy like a Tyler Guyton would have been, you know, a little more of a stretch to to say he's coming in right away. So I think that's a guy. Also, Patrick Paul, the huge tackle out of Houston, whose brother Chris is on Washington's roster right now. He was somebody that, like, when the whole pre-draft process started, was getting talk about even maybe being in the first. Then he slipped back. But I've had a couple scouts this week tell me, you know, he could easily be, like, the first tackle gone in the second round. And so, you know, I think those are the two I'm looking at. And then from there, you know, you can tell me edge rusher, a guy like Marshawn Nealon from Western Michigan. You can tell me cornerback. At some point, you'd like to think they get a pass catcher, but probably that's maybe more of a round three or later. So, you know, so those are, you know, I think some of the names. And then it's just, you know, like, you know, you're obviously a big college football guy. Like, they need size at receiver. Is Keon Coleman of interest to them? I would like to think he would be, but he's had a weird evaluation cycle. But, I mean, that guy's still there, and they need size at receiver. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker from Texas A&M. Again, not what you would think they would need the most, but, you know, the way Dan Quinn likes to play with that attacking defense, I think he could be a really interesting fit. So they have a lot of options, but, yeah, OT would be my number one assumption with at least one of those second-round picks.
Yeah, and Cooper DeJean, who we were talking about before you jumped on, he would be my favorite player right now still on the board. Buffalo has a need for corner. The Patriots, remember, drafted Christian Gonzalez last year. And the Cardinals, these are the three teams picking in front of Washington, added a corner in free agency. So we'll see. But I would bet he's off the board early. I think there's also, you know, always the chance that teams move up because of what we saw yesterday, in particular at quarterback. They move up to take a guy like Spencer Rattler, you know, or, you know, Michael Pratt. Like, I think you're going to see some quarterbacks come off in the second round, I think, as well tonight. Ben Standig is joining us. So, do you have an opinion on the San Francisco Ayuk Samuel maybe trading one of those two position as it relates to Washington or not?
Well, so again, when I did my various scenarios, you know, in one of them I said, well, the one I let myself have some real fun with is I had them trading at least pick 36, and I forget what else I included, but like a deal with San Fran for Ayuk. I mean, I wouldn't normally, I mean, there's been zero evidence this whole cycle, including free agency, that says Adam Peters thinks they've got to make a big splashy move. But the circumstances here are just so intriguing that literally the quarterback he ends up drafting in the first round was college teammates with Ayuk. They were doing an IG live last night, apparently, after Daniels got picked. And then they also, apparently they talk like multiple times a week, you know, like they're like legit friends. And then the guy who drafted Ayuk is Adam Peters, you know, the Niners. So the combination is, you know, makes it much more interesting than just simply saying, hey, some receiver is thinking about, you know, make it traded. What do you think? So I got to keep my antenna up for that. But, you know, I don't have any other, you know, like I said, you know, insight into what they would do. But to me, that is a really interesting dynamic for sure. And I was going to say this before, but like in terms of the 36 and 40, you know, in my final Commanders mock draft where everybody was saying they should trade up for a tackle, I decided ultimately, as we discussed, for them to trade back because it felt like the tackles probably weren't going to be ready to play. And, you know, I think next year is when Peters is going to get aggressive with building this roster, and having more capital there could go a long way towards helping. So, you know, trading down from 36, and none of the top six quarterbacks are around, so that takes a more obvious piece off the board for somebody to want to trade up to. But, you know, they're still, you know, even if it's like, say, Cooper DeJean, there could be a team that says, hey, you know, we really want this guy, we'll give you, you know, X. So, you know, I mean, trading down should be considered, if not even executed, depending on what the offer is. So, yeah, that would be, so whether it's Ayuk or that trade down, I mean, I think it would be really interesting to me to say that they have some fun today doing something that's more than just taking the next player. And I'd be here for it, especially the trade down part.
Yeah. All right. So give me just a couple of big thoughts other that weren't Washington related from the draft. Obviously, everybody's talking about what happened in Atlanta. What were some of the big takeaways from you after last night? I know you were focused mostly on this, but you now know what happened in the first round as a whole.
Right. Well, you know, ultimately last night was a reminder that if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you don't really have much of a chance, right?
Yep.
I mean,
it spoke loudly last night.
Yeah. I mean, you said you guys have already been talking about Atlanta, I'm sure. I mean, that was absolutely mind-blowing that they did that for 100 reasons. That one was very odd. But then the combination that zero defensive players were picked until the 15th pick, that was also fairly nuts. But, you know, I think I don't remember if I said this to you or elsewhere, but like when I was doing the mock drafts, usually most years I've got like, you know, 40 guys or so that I'm trying to shove into 32 spots. And it's like, here is more the opposite. It felt like, man, I kind of can get to a certain number. And then at the end, I'm like, I guess I got to put this guy in here. Like, I wasn't like, it didn't feel that there were as many players to go in the first round as I would normally. And then I think I saw like, you know, Jerry Jones said Dallas had like, I think maybe like 15 players total with first round grades. Typically teams often will have fewer than 32 first round grades, but
right.
15 felt
I think the average is like somewhere around 20 to somewhere between 20 and 23 or something like that. I think what's his face, you know, the former Packers executive that we have on.
Andrew Brandt.
Thank you. I think he has said that that's kind of the average for teams that typically nobody has 32 first round grades in a draft.
Right. But yeah, so it just seems lower than normal. And, you know, I think it was reflected that way. You know, quarterbacks get bumped up because it's the importance of the position. This was a really strong year for tackles. Every single one that people thought could go in the first round did. Right. But then after that, it just, you know, really kind of limped along to a certain extent. Everybody will, of course, say they love their guy. And, you know, doesn't mean they won't be really good players. It's just from an overall class perspective, it felt it was a bit patchy with where the strengths were. So that was interesting. I never really bought the idea that the Giants were going to take quarterback. Who knows if they would have if Drake May was there. But, again, it didn't really seem like Drake May would be there at six unless they traded up, which, again, would seem odd to trade up for a guy and then not play him year one. So I think those were some of the things that stood out to me. It's amazing that the Raiders are picking 13. Everybody is pegging them to take a quarterback. And not only did they not get one, they were all gone. That's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
I will say, like, you know, obviously McCarthy and Bo Nix were the last two taken. And they may be the two that got into the best spot for who they are because of the fact that Minnesota's already, you know, got a pretty loaded offense. And Kevin O'Connell is proving himself as a good offensive coach, and you know, Sean Payton, you know, may think a lot of himself a bit too much, but there's reason for him to be confident. And, you know, that guy does pretty good work with quarterbacks. And, you know, I think Bo Nix could be, not stylistically, but he could be Brock Purdy-ish in terms of having a guy like Payton in his head, tutoring him, gets the most out of him for what they need. Doesn't mean he'll ever be, you know, a star, but like, that's not, you know, if you have a good team, you don't need a star. Like, you know, sort of like with Cousins, right? He's good, but he's good enough. He's not elite to carry the team. So I thought at least we can say that like a guy like Bo Nix was taken too early, but at least he was taken into a pretty good spot.
Yeah. You know, I think you can make the case that Caleb Williams was picked into a very good spot for him.
Yeah.
And probably Drake May into the worst spot, although he gets to sit behind a guy like Jacoby Brissett, who everybody has said over and over again is as good as you get in a quarterback room and in a locker room, and to learn from, which not only that, Alex Van Pelt, their offensive coordinator there, coached Brissett in Cleveland. So, yeah. He'll have Antonio Gibson in the backfield if he gets into the game. All right, thanks. Did I miss anything big that you wanted to share with all of us?
No, I mean, again, like, you know, I just think it was interesting listening to Peter's talk about the whole process for him, that he really had no feel for Daniels prior to getting this job, because, you know, it's not like San Fran was in the quarterback market. And then once he, you know, turned on the tapes, that he just basically fell in love. And that even though, you know, he's effectively been fibbing to us all about, you know, how deliberative they were in this process, which, again, we all kind of get it. And I appreciate the fact that he's saying we're going to take this to the very end, because who knows what's going to be out there for us in terms of trades or something. That, you know, they were pretty hardcore into them. And, you know, I also like I said, the fact that McCarthy was apparently their other guy, which, you know, which made sense.
Well, did he say that, or was that just the Schefter report?
That was just the Schefter report. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I've been talking about it, and,
right.
You know, I mean, you had time
yep.
on your podcast say something as well. So just in terms of that, this may be more just for my purposes, that like, okay,
yeah.
that thought made sense for sure. Oh, and also I will even say, like, what solidified me is Michael Penix being somewhere in the top of the first round was the fact that Washington brought him in with the top golf thing. They're not going to waste their time in that scenario on a guy who might be even like big two. So the fact that they did that said to me, okay, that even they think Penix is pretty good. And you know, I think that was a vibe that, you know, was born out here.
Great job. Hope to get you on the show tonight if you've got time tonight. Denton and I will be hosting the coverage tonight, so I'll holler at you later.
Look forward to it, and yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right, Ben Standing, everybody. Up next, we have the team video and audio. You won't see the video of the call to Jaden Daniels, excuse me, last night. From Adam Peters with Dan Quinn and Josh Harris weighing in. You'll hear how the whole conversation with the man that they would eventually pick just a couple of minutes later went. That's next. Also, jump on the phone lines if you want. We'll finish up with calls 301-230-0980.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.